All right. Well, gravity has asked me to say something about the camp meeting, but I'm afraid to, because if all of y'all show up, they're going to think something's happened in Resaca. There's going to be another battle of Resaca. But we'd love for you to come. I mean, we'll hang you on a nail somewhere. We'll do something with you. We'd love for you to come. That's July 15th. Brother Ricky Gravely will be preaching that night with somebody, Lord willing. And you say, what's going to happen if the Lord comes back? I done got Brother Morgan lined up.
Yeah.
And praise God. He's the moderator of Faith Baptist Camp. And so, hey man, at least he's got a meeting, he said. But start July 15th and go through the 19th. And we'll have a special youth service that Friday morning, Lord willing. And we'll have some men that are lined up to be with us to preach that morning. On Friday morning, that's the 19th. And do come. We'd love to have you. We'll start Monday night and then have a Tuesday morning and Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night. And then again, that special youth service that Friday morning. And we have youth meeting down in a room that we have there at the camp sometime in the afternoon. And really, that has been the place where the Lord has just really helped me. Just the prayers of those young people that are in there, and they'll be packed in there, and praying and preaching, and really carrying the load of the meeting in a lot of ways. And so, if you got some young people, we'd love for you to come. I know there's a lot of youth meetings going on, and I tried my best not to conflict with any of them, and I know that it does. Good friends of mine that I didn't realize having to meet at the same time, but we'd love for you to come and to be part of it there. I want to say something tonight. I want to go on record to say that I love Brother Ricky Gravely. I believe in Brother Ricky Gravely. Man, I trust him, and I'm not just saying that because he gave me $100 to say it. Man, I mean it. I appreciate this man of God, this church, and thank God for this meeting here. Proverbs chapter number 22 tonight. You can turn your Bibles there. Proverbs chapter number 22. Of course, the book of Proverbs is a practical book which deals with the realities of everyday life. I'm glad God has given us a book. And the goal of this whole Word of God is to lead us and guide us and direct us. And the goal of the book of Proverbs is to describe what wisdom is and to help God's people to be wise. Proverbs 4 and verse 7 said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. So wisdom is how we apply knowledge. God has given us knowledge, but we are to be wise with that. The Bible said in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So God has given us a Bible to help us with wisdom. But Proverbs 22 and verse number 28, this will be the only verse that I read tonight. I'm going to stay right in this verse. The Bible said, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, God blesses us with wisdom where we can use it for His honor and His glory and use that knowledge that He has given us. And one way He does that is He places limitations on you and I. Not that the fact is God is trying to be a killjoy. It's not the fact that He's trying to get us where we won't have any fun or anything like that. I enjoy being saved. I know there's a lot of people that walk around and think you cannot enjoy being saved. And I know that, listen, there'll be a lot of heartaches in this life, and thank God we can get together and we can laugh together, we can cry together, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. But I enjoy my salvation. It's all right to enjoy your salvation. If you're saved, you can enjoy it. Amen. He gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. But what He does do in our lives is He puts some limitations out there. There's some things that you and I are not to do. There's some places that you and I are not to go, and areas we don't need to venture into. And He's not trying to deprive us. He's trying to put us in a place of benefit and blessing. Psalm 84 verse 11 said, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so when Solomon uses this word landmark, he's talking about an area. He's talking about property. He's not talking about places like the Grand Canyon or the Washington Monument or anything like that. He's talking about a property. And so when the penman of Proverbs uses this word, He is talking about property. And this word landmark, according to the dictionary, it's a mark to designate the boundary of land. It's any mark or fixed object, as a marked tree or a stone or a heap of stones by which limits of a farm or town or other portion of territory may be known and preserved. And so these landmarks or these boundaries were placed in Israel. God took 7 chapters in Joshua 13 all the way through Joshua 19 to give them their boundaries, their borders. And this was to provide them a place where they could rest and a place where they could inherit in that land of Canaan. They were very visible markers. They were distinguishable markers that God gave him. I said that to say this. Over the last even 5 years, I've thought about this, how we have lost some things that we used to have. We have backed up on some areas that we used to hold tight. Now, I want to preach tonight a little bit on losing the landmark. Losing the landmark. First of all, I don't want to lose the landmark because it is a scriptural landmark. The Bible says, remove not the ancient landmark. So we need to have more than just emotional attachments to our Bible. We need to have more than just the fact to say, well, we're King James and we're old timey because we're King James. It's not the fact that the King James Bible is not the Word of God. We know that it is, and you're not just old fashioned because you've got a King James Bible. You're old fashioned because you preach the King James Bible, you believe the King James Bible, and you put your life in practice behind the Scriptures, nothing more and nothing less. I said that to say this. Is our faith so volatile that you and I could not take the Bible and defend what you and I believe and contend for it? And here's what I say. People say, well, you know, you got a hobby horse, or you're running a rabbit or anything like that. You can say what you want to. You can bring anything that you want to. You can say, bring it on, all right? But I say with that, whatever it is that you want to bring on, make sure you bring your Bible with you, because we are Bible believers. We don't have hobby horses. We just believe the Bible from end to amen. Because the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Thank you. Purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But it said, my word shall not pass away. I'm glad I've got a Bible tonight that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. One preacher said, this book will keep you from sinning, and sin will keep you from this book. Thank God I've got a Bible, and you and I need to be scriptural in standing for our landmark. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 19 and verse 14, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. See, if a corrupt landowner wanted to expand his property, he'd just go in and confiscate somebody's land and use it, and by just moving that landmark, that's what he would do. Now, this practice would be similar to maybe repositioning something that an official survey marker had done, because what they wanted to do right here, that when they would move these landmarks, it was nothing more really, it was the equivalent of theft. It was the equivalent of stealing. And God told them in Numbers 36 verse 7, so shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel removed from tribe to tribe. The Bible said in Hosea 5 and verse 10, the princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore will I pour out my wrath upon them. Why would God curse a person who moves the neighbor's landmark? Because if you did that by moving that ancient landmark, somebody could steal the flock. Somebody could come in and steal some of the sheep out of the neighbor's flock. Now think about today where we are. We have moved at that landmark. We've got away from the Bible. We have got people that are leaving the independent fundamental Baptist, and they're going to liberal churches where they don't have a preacher, where he comes to the pulpit and flip-flops and cut-offs and a tank top, and he does not have the Word of God. Why aren't we doing that? What are we losing these people to? I think one of the reasons is we have allowed the adversary to come in. We have allowed the devil to come in and steal some things to us that we should hold very dear. The
Bible said in Ephesians 4 verse 27, neither give place to the devil. The word place here refers to a specific marked off geographical area, and it carries the idea of territory. And so what the adversary has done, he's kind of sneaked in a little bit into the Sunday school program. He might try to sneak into the choir loft. He might try to slip in unaware. But the Bible said that we are to hold these truths fast in our heart and fight the devil tooth and toenail. And I know I'm no match for him, but praise God, I've got an advocate with the Father, and I believe he'll help us in the day and age in which we live to not lose these landmarks. Hey, I tell you, it was essential to safeguarding Israel's national integrity and identity. And truth does not change from one generation to the next generation. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Hey, if stating the truth is being judgmental, then I am guilty tonight. Amen? Which would be a greater sin, ignoring the spirit of Antichrist or speaking out against it? The Bible said, cry loud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Hey, it's not hate speech. It's what the Bible says. And say, listen, I'm not trying to be hateful. Praise God, I'm trying to be biblical. We have the instruction manual. We have the blueprint. Amen. People say God loves everybody, and I appreciate that. Amen. But he does not condone the behavior and the lifestyles of a lot of people. People say love one another. I believe that. Judge not lest you be judged. I believe that. But we need to tell them what the judge said. Amen. Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. We have funerals. We have sin. We have sorrow and decay because somebody did what God said do not do. Nowadays, people don't want to say nothing about sin. I just make a little adjustment, and I'm not perfect, just forgiven. And I understand what you're saying, but the Bible said these things right unto you that you sin not. That's what the book says. Amen. They said thou shalt not in the Bible. I'm talking about scripture. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what it says. That's still in your Bible. It's still wrong to do that. Mark 6 and verse 18. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. And now when you speak out against it, unrighteousness and stuff like that, I'll tell you where a lot of problem comes. It's not going to come from a sinner. It's going to come from some religious charlatan who thinks they're saved and badmouth this kind of preaching. Praise God, peel it back, amen. Nail it down. Eat about a half a bag of 16 penny nails. Chase it with some diesel fuel. Shut your hand in a car door about five times and get up and preach the devil at all of us. Amen. We need it. We need some thou shalt nots in the Bible. Amen. If they're in there, we need to preach them. Amen. Romans 13 verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. There's some thou shalt nots in the Bible. The Bible said, remove it not. It said, thou shalt not kill. We know that's murder. And we was fishing one day, and we saw a bald eagle up, and thank God for America. Amen. We saw this bald eagle, and we saw this big nest there. And so we were fishing. They said, you know what? If something happens and we kill that eagle, I mean, we all going to jail, prison for a long time. And you know why they'll do that? Because if you read it, they'll say, well, inside of that egg is a little eagle. They'll say there's a little eagle in that egg. And so if you take that egg, if you destroy that eagle, they're worried about the little ones. And they said inside that egg is a little eagle. Now listen, it ain't hatched. All it is a big old yellow gob in there. But they say, well, you can't take that because there's a little eagle in there. It's amazing to me that they'll stand up for that. And we ought to stand up for it. Amen. I'm not saying you need to. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what. They'll shut down five or six interstates over a spotted owl. And I'm not against a spotted owl. Amen. And I'm not against animals. Amen. I like a good BLT. Praise God. I like a good steak. Amen. I'm not against animals. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. That's what the Bible says, all right? I'm not against that. But now we've got people that are putting precedent over that. Yet, tomorrow, across the country without benefit of a trial, without benefit of counsel. There'll be human beings that'll be executed in the most cruel and inhumane ways known to man. They've committed no crime. They're absolutely, totally innocent, and they will be put to death. That's not a fetus. That's a human being in the womb. Amen. I'm talking about we have lost some landmark. What's our code of conduct? It's the scriptures. What's the foundation of our faith? It is the Bible, amen. That's why I still know preaching still works, amen. Yes. Biblical separation is still right. Yes. And listen, it is an intimidating thing. Because what will happen is they'll say, well, you know, you're a legalist. And you know, you got this hobby horse or whatever. Or you just got a bone to pick. I don't have a bone to pick. I do have a Bible to preach. Yeah. Amen? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 6:17, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be ye separate. That word separate there means to mark oneself off from other boundaries. We need to guard our separation by staying separated. There is a distinct line, amen? And we need the walls of separation in our deeds, in our dress, in our worship, in our standards. Holiness is still right. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I'm thank God tonight for the love of God. But the essence of God is holiness. God is a holy God with a holy book and holy son and holy scriptures. And he wants you and I to be holy. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And sometimes, you know, you get to preaching about dress standards and stuff like that. And we need to be periodically reminded, not maybe every service, probably every other service, about it does matter what you look like. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. I know God's concerned about the inward man. I understand that. Amen. And sometimes it's difficult because you get somebody, they'll get born again and then everything will be going pretty good. And you have to get up and say, now listen, ladies, you have to get rid of them blue jeans. You can't wear them no more. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. I mean, listen, and Brother Fuller, he had mentioned this today about a man is to wear his hair short and a woman's to wear her hair long. Women used to shout their hair down. They don't have none to shout down no more. And now, listen, I'm not talking about somebody that's going through treatments. I'm talking about somebody, amen, it's an identifier. We ought to be able to look at you and say, you know what, that's a man. That's a lady. It identifies you, amen? Why is that? Because it reflects your attitude towards submission to the Bible. That's what it is, amen? You know 2 Timothy 2:9 is still in the Bible. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That is something that is worn in discretion. That's not calling attention to yourself. That is something that is proper. That is something that is humble, amen? I've seen skirts in churches that were, if they any higher, they'd be a belt, amen? Modesty or immodesty is a reflection of the heart. It is a reflection and perception. That's why in verse 9 that I read in 2 Timothy, it's clearly talking about outward items. It's talking about what you look like. And let me say this, it says men, it said women, but let me say this tonight, some of you men probably need to get a bigger size suit. I promise you, if I can find a suit to fit me, I promise you, you can find one to fit you. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Listen, I've got two daughters here, got my wife here, and I just think you ought to cover up yourself. Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave it at that right there. If you'll say amen, I'll leave it right there. It's just as right. The women get blowed out, and a woman ought to look like a woman, a man ought to look like a man. Amen. That's just the truth out of the Word of God. That just like hair links, outward appearance of a Christian reflects an inward attitude. It shows you're submissive, amen? Man, I thought about this. You mean to say you can place your very life, on the truth of the scriptures to tell you how to be saved, but you can't trust it on how you're supposed to live after you're saved. Amen? I mean, listen now, if you say anything about it, and they say, you know, Brother Randy, you're hopping on these, you're getting all that. I'm not talking about sinners, friend. I'm talking about somebody that claims to be right with God, claims to be saved by the grace of God, and has got a Bible, has got a preacher that will preach it. Amen. If you say anything about biblical standards now or standard for truth, you're a hate monger. You don't love people. That is false. Amen. That's just not true. Amen. These men are mentors. I'm talking about the men that gave us what we have today. You can label me, you can label us, all ever you want to label us, and you're going to do that anyway. Somebody is, amen. And if you don't like this kind of preaching, you're watching by way of internet. My name's John Morgan. I'm an evangelist out of Hendersonville, North Carolina, amen. Amen. There's God. Amen. And you know what happened? Amen. That's why we still got this, Brother Ricky.
Preach.
That's why we still have what we have. I mean, it's because somebody preached it. You didn't know no better. I didn't know no better. Probably some of us had cigarettes in the car. Probably had a Copenhagen in her back pocket. And the preacher got up and nailed it. Amen. He got up and preached it. Some of you ladies, I mean, listen, I'm talking, you didn't know nothing. You just got saved and God saved you. And you didn't know no better. And the preacher got up, or the preacher's wife in Sunday school got up and dealt with this thing. And you say, man, I got to get rid of these things. How God is not pleased with this. Hey, don't you want to plead? We're not a bunch of Pharisees. I don't know everybody in here, but I know this kind of crowd. We don't think we're better than anybody. As a matter of fact, we think we're probably worse than everybody. And we are what we are by the grace of God. But I want to line up with the Bible. I want to be true to His Word. Amen. Don't you want to be true to His Word? I mean, if I take some medicine, I want a name on the bottle. Tell me what I'm taking. Amen. A label tells you what's on the inside. Hey, listen. They say, well, Brother Randy, what do you think? They've took Baptists off the sign. I'm like, good. They ought to. They ought to took it off 15, 20, 25 years ago. Well, they've left the independent Baptists. Good.
Amen.
They ought to. Amen. All right. I'm just telling you. Amen. Right. Man, I understand people may take things and they say, well, you know, y'all independent Baptists and y'all think this, that. Oh, no, we just believe that you ought to live right. You say, who taught you this? Amen. Our landmarks. Amen. It's a scriptural landmark. It's a serious landmark. A serious landmark. He said, remove not. That sounds pretty serious to me. It means to displace something, to move it out of position, or to displace from a proper role. That's why we've lost common decencies and morals. Amen. That at one time marked this great country. Wonder why there's so much violence now. Because they don't want God in the courthouse. And they sure enough don't want God down to schoolhouse. We're in a sad day when we're allowing the things to go on in school. You got a drag queen that will come in there and teach our children and set the children down. And you got boys want to be boys and girls want to be girls. And now you got humans wanting to be animals. I read about this individual in an elementary school. They said there was a cat wanted a litter box in the room. Amen. They wanted a litter box in the room. Well, they put them a litter box in there. I wonder what happened when they went down to the lunchroom. Here's what I thought. No, bless Pat. No. You can't eat that cheese. You can't eat that cheeseburger there. There's a rat out there at the dumpster. You go out there and catch it. Amen. We're going to get you a can of nine lives and set it in front of you. Amen. That's right. I mean, you can't have it both ways. Y'all know that's not right. You talk about inordinate affection. That's what the Bible calls it. Amen. There was a day when our children could say the pledges and read the Bible. in the schoolhouse. That happened in every learning institution. Biblical correctness now has been replaced with political correctness.
That's right.
Can't say anything negative about anybody anymore. Everything's got to be so politically correct now. And if you say things and maybe you don't, it don't come out right, and it, you don't say it like you wished you would have said it or whatever, take things and twist it and turn it. You say, what kind of voter's guide do you have? Praise God, I've got a Bible. Amen. That's right. Amen. I'm talking about higher tax, spending billions of dollars over somewhere instead of here. Amen. My mad craze for sports. You say you're against sports, I'm against everything but the Georgia Bulldogs. Amen. I'm just telling you. Amen. All you Tennessee fans, you just quenched the Holy Ghost right there. Amen. Amen. Me or you want it. I'm just telling you, everybody crazy about sports. Oh, Brother Randy, don't you understand? I want my child to get involved in sports because it builds character. Character builder. Oh, I guess that's why those professional athletes are such paragons of integrity and character. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
We're coming to you live where so-and-so has been arrested. 8 liters of whatever.
But he'll be running the ball on Sunday. There'll be people laying out of the house of God to go watch a football game. Amen. We've made these guys that can slam a basketball and run a football and hit a grand slam. We've made them our children's heroes. Amen. I tell you, my hero, and we owe a massive debt.
Yes.
A massive debt to the forerunners.
Yes.
Amen. I mentioned a while ago, and I know that people, you know, hey, if you got something to say, and I can't mention everybody in here that's been a mentor, but I want to tell you tonight, I appreciate Brother Robert Verlin Allen.
Amen.
You say, who is that?
Yes, sir.
That is Brother Sammy Allen.
Yes.
I don't, hey, listen, associate me with that man. Put me with that man. Amen. Amen. You see, listen, the most holy man I've ever seen. I wasn't a worshiper of him, but I followed that man because he followed God. Amen. I mean, we hold a great debt to those men that stood in the gap and that fought hyper-Calvinism and that preached the realities of eternal life and eternal damnation, and they battled apostasy and they stood in the gap so you and I can have a place to worship God. Amen. Man, we've lost that. We've lost that. We're losing our landmarks. Our forefathers understood that some biblical doctrines, they're too precious to take lightly. Jude in verse 3 said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Error was trying to creep into the church in the book of Jude. God said, no, you deal with it. I'm telling you, friend, in the day and age in which we live, that we need to be like those men before us, resolved to defend the faith, the foundation of Christian truth. The reason being, because they recognized it, they stood against it, they preached against it. Hey, listen, we need to understand tonight, amen. Amen. The best rat poison is 98% cornmeal. Man, that's the truth. They'll try to ease in. These men that stood in the gap. Amen. That preached, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Hey, listen, I was watching this video, and I listen to the preacher sometimes, and it just kind of gets me caught up on different things, and I'll cry a while and laugh a while. And then there was another video on there, and they had someone on there, and they made a snide remark, really, about my pastor. And he's gone on to be with the Lord. August will be, or end of July will be 4 years. And he made a snide comment about Brother Allen. He said, do you know, and called a preacher by his first name, and kind of had a smirk and made a snide remark about that. And I sat there and watched that. I said, you know what? I watched Brother Allen pray for that man.
Yes.
I know he took up offerings for that man. I know he tried to help that man and his family over and over again. And then he got up and tore down the very one that loved him and took him in and preached to him. I'm telling you, your favorite pastor, your favorite preacher ought to be your pastor. If your pastor's here, you ought to get behind him. Say, thank you, preacher, for preaching. Praise God. Go to the house of God. Say amen about 40 times. Don't be afraid to help the man of God.
Man,
hey, listen, I'm talking about losing the landmark for him. We cannot lose the landmark. You say, why? Because it's scriptural. I mean, it's serious. Where's our kids going? Where's your children going to have? Where are they going to have to go to church? Look where we've come in the last 15, 20 years. Look where we've come. Look how things have changed. Man, we're in sad shape. It's up to this next generation. I appreciate these young men. I really do. You know, young people get blown out a lot. And, you know, that's, well, and I appreciate Brother Fuller, what he said today. I appreciate what he said about, I mean, you know, you got nice. Hey, what do you want our young people to meet? What do you want to meet their future mate? You want them to go down the alley mall? You want to go down the bowling alley? You want to go down to the movie house? Amen. I mean, listen, I met my wife in church. Praise God, there's a God in heaven, amen. I mean, look at me and my wife's good looking, praise God. Amen, I appreciate that. I really am. I'm glad God didn't stick me with somebody, I'll say that. Amen. I met my wife in church. God called me to preach in the church. I've got right with God several times after I got saved. And I got saved at home. Praise God, many times I've got right at the church. I met my spouse at the church. We need the church. Thank God for the church. But we wouldn't have a church without somebody before us saying, we are not moving the landmark. Amen. We're not going to do it. We're going to stay with the old King James Bible. We're going to keep preaching the truth. We're going to keep exalting Christ. We're going to keep on magnifying Jesus. We're going to keep on preaching the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Serious, amen. It is serious. It's serious. I cut up probably too much for some. Probably too much for some. I cut up. I like having a good time. Well, Brother Ricky, the last year or so, God's dealt with me about it.
Yes, sir.
Serious. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about blood clot, deep vein thrombosis. Serious. Man. You say, why is that? We don't have a lot of time left. We're running out of time. Young people, I love you. I commend you. Thank God. Didn't the Kendricks, didn't they look like humans up here?
Yes.
I could look at him. I said, you know what? That's a young man. That's a young lady. I'd have scratched my head and say, you know what? What is that?
Amen.
Man, I appreciate that, don't you? Hey, listen, young people, I know there's pressure on you. And you want to try to be cool and you want to try to fit in. I tell you what I'd do. I'd get full of God, get in the Bible, stay on your knees, let God help you and God bless you. Get behind your pastor, get behind your Sunday school teacher, knock on doors, tell people about Jesus, go everywhere telling the good news. I tell you, God will bless you, God will put you together with the right mate. You can serve God together, you can have a little bit of heaven on earth. If you praise God, do not move the landmark. Understand the seriousness. It's scriptural.
Yes, sir.
It's serious. It's settled.
Yeah.
Said, which thy fathers have set. They said, we're not moving on this. There's some things I'll negotiate with you. There's some things that I know I'm probably wrong about something. I mean, no doubt about it. I know if my wife's here, she'd say amen to that. But I tell you, there's some things we need to be settled on. We're not moving on it. Amen. I'll take the old time way. It's a sacred landmark. It's ancient. I like it. You say, well, y'all are ancient. Y'all are ancient around here. We're so ancient, the knees is wore out on the swimming trunks. Amen. That's how old fashioned we are around here. Amen. We're not old fashioned because we've got a King James Bible and we shout.
That's right.
This is the crowd in here. Now, Brother Ricky, I know that if I was some places and have been, well, many times, one and done. You'd get up and I'd say, now listen, you know, don't get too upset at him. and get up and say, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, you big baby.
Amen.
Praise God. I look back there and I see Brother Doug. I mean, I'm talking about men like Brother Raines.
Yes.
Talking about folks like that stood in the gap,
amen,
gave us what we have, stayed faithful. And now, I mean, you know, I think about how at one time, you know, I was a young preacher, and now I'm a young to middle-aged preacher. Amen. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But I'm wondering, and I appreciate the good touch of God. I appreciate these young men that God is touching and helping. We've got churches that are changing. We got churches that are watering. We got doctrine that is changing. It needs to be a set landmark. Amen. It needs to be something where you and I say, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Thank God for the ones who told the line. We wouldn't have what we have tonight without them. Amen. Look at how the disciples died for the cause of Christ. Matthew was killed by a sword. Mark dragged by horses through streets until he died. Luke was hung. John was the only one to die naturally. Peter crucified upside down. James beat to death. Bartholomew beaten to death with a whip. Andrew was crucified. Thomas stabbed to death with a spear. Jude was killed with arrows. Matthias stoned and beheaded. Paul tortured and beheaded. Amen. We need to make sure that these landmarks not only are for us right now, but that we do not move because of the sake of our children.
Right.
I preach this a lot at the church, preach a lot about this sort of thing, the families at the church, and I appreciate we got many, many of our church members here tonight. And they'll testify to this fact. I looked at the next generation that we've got coming up. Look at the next young men and young ladies. What kind of atmosphere, what kind of church will they have?
Right.
If you and I lose the landmark. We have a great responsibility. Let's stand until Jesus comes. Everybody standing? Praise God. Y'all listening, I praise the Lord for that. Amen. If you're asleep in that message, it ain't your fault, it's mine. Amen. Let's say this. Say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand. Because I don't want to lose the landmark.
That's right.
What if these other men, and some men that I do not know, that have not known, you know, I obviously heard about Brother Seidler, Brother Mays Jackson, those men, you know, Billy Kelly, Carl Lackey, amen, Brother Don Green, men that I did know and had an impact. But I don't want to lose these landmarks. I want to stay scriptural, not pharisaical, not snooty, not arrogant, but scriptural.